The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Now, you know, Grace Baker, we barely made it on the air today, and we probably need to explain what's going on and why I'm a little out of breath.
We have a very good reason.
I think this is the best reason of all. Now, I will say this, and by the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, and we've got so much to talk about. There's so much chaos in the country right now, and there is so much to be concerned about with the Supreme Court at this moment, and we're going to get to that, but I need to tell you what just happened here. Now, we have the best listeners in all of America. And many of you folks used to listen to L. Rush Bow. We were all followers of Rush Limbaugh. And, of course, Rush, the greatest talk radio host of all time, in my estimation. And I know that Rush Limbaugh had great listeners because we have many of his listeners listening to us now. But I'm fairly certain, Grace Baker, that Rush Limbaugh's listeners would not bring by delicious ham sandwiches for Bo Snerdling and the team.
Yes.
So a little while ago, literally just minutes ago, we were coming into the Liberty University studios here at our bunker, our compound, our Southern Command in Memphis, Tennessee. And Grace, you told me that we were going to have a visitor.
Yes.
So a gentleman we're not going to give his last name, but Dave came by.
Dave.
And he wanted to bring by some ham sandwiches. And there's a very famous place, and I've never heard of this place.
Me neither.
It's Canali's Grocery. Maybe our Memphis listeners may know about this place. But anyway, they've been known for years, going back to the mid-1960s, when they started a restaurant in Bartlett, Tennessee, and they had a grocery. It's a Canali's Grocery, and so now it was reopened back in 2016, and they're known for their world famous hams. It's the home of the hams.
Home of the hams.
So Dave comes by and has ham sandwiches for the whole crew here.
Yes, and now I'm very hungry. I was already hungry, but seeing the ham sandwiches made me more hungry. And I don't mean this, Todd, in a mean way, but we got to get to break.
No, we're going to break. Yeah, we're going to go to break early. That's why I was trying to explain. We got to go to break here. This is, Grace, I saw you eyeing the ham sandwich.
Yeah, mouth watering just a bit.
I've never seen you like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so first of all, thank you, Dave. And he had to rush because he wanted to get back and listen to the show. And we had to rush so we could do a show.
Yeah, so there was a show to listen to.
Exactly. And so we want to say thank you. And it's no longer called Canali's Grocery, but they have delicious sandwiches, and we're looking forward to that. We're going to see if there's a website, and we'll try to link to it. Let's do that on the live show blog. All that to say, we have just the some incredible listeners out there, and folks, we treat this program, whether you are in Los Angeles or Salt Lake City, whether you are in Salem, Oregon, or you're in Portland, Maine, we just consider this a great big front porch, America's front porch, where you can come, hang out, enjoy a glass of iced tea, maybe a delicious ham sandwich, and talk about the big issues of the day. And we appreciate that, and we appreciate you. So let's get to the business at hand here. I want to ask you about Ted Cruz. So last night, Ted went on Tucker Carlson's show. Now I'm just going to go ahead and say that was a strategic mistake. We went out of our way to reach out to the senator to try to get him to come on the program, our program yesterday. And I felt like we would have given him a fair platform. But Tucker Carlson tore into Senator Ted Cruz like a pit bull on a pork chop. I have never seen anything like this. So first of all, let's go back, and I want you to remember what Ted Cruz said about the U.S. Capitol riots just a few days ago.
Solemn anniversary this week, and it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol. We are grateful for that courage. We appreciate the selfless sacrifice of the men and women who keep us safe.
So that landed like a Moab in MAGA country, and people are still livid over this. So he went on Tucker Carlson's show last night, and here's how that went, cut 13.
Carelessly, and yet you called this attack when by no definition was it a terror attack. That's a lie. You told that lie on purpose, and I'm wondering why you did.
Well, Tucker, thank you for having me on. When you aired your episode last night, I sent you a text shortly thereafter and said, listen, I'd like to go on because the way I phrased things yesterday, it was sloppy and it was frankly dumb. And
I don't buy that. Whoa. I don't buy that. Look, I've known you a long time since before you went to the Senate. You're a Supreme Court contender. You take words as seriously as any man who's ever served in the Senate. And every word you repeated that phrase. I do not believe that you used that accidentally. I just don't.
So, Tucker, as a result of my sloppy phrasing, it's caused a lot of people to misunderstand what I meant. Let me tell you what I meant to say. What I was referring to are the limited number of people who engaged in violent attacks against police officers. Now, I think you and I both agree that if you assault a police officer, you should go to jail. That's who I was talking about. And the reason the phrasing was sloppy is I have talked dozens, if not hundreds of times. I've drawn a distinction. I wasn't saying that the thousands of peaceful protesters supporting Donald Trump are somehow terrorists. I wasn't saying the millions of patriots across the country supporting President Trump are terrorists. And that's what a lot of people have misunderstood that comment.
What you just said doesn't make sense. So if somebody assaults a cop, he should be charged and go to jail. I couldn't agree more. We have said that for years. But that person's still not a terrorist. How many people have been charged with terrorism on January 6th? Like, why'd you use that word? You're playing into the other side's characterization that, as Joe Kent just explained, allows them to define an entire population as foreign combatants. And you know that. So why'd you do it?
So Tucker, let me answer you directly. The reason I use that word, for a decade, I have referred to people who violently assault police officers as terrorists. I've done so over and over and over again. If you look at all the assaults we've seen across the country, I've called that terrorism over and over again. That being said, Tucker, I agree with you. It was a mistake to say that yesterday, and the reason is what you just said, which is we've now had a year of Democrats in the media twisting words.
Yeah, that was, wow, not good. That was not good. So look, here's where I think we are with Ted Cruz, and I think many of you, as I've been reading through your emails, your responses, and we have had literally thousands of you have sent in your responses across our platforms. So I think this is where we are right now with Ted Cruz. Many of us in this audience are one of three camps. Number one, you're going to give Ted Cruz the benefit of the doubt, and you're saying, you know what? Every now and again, even the smartest people in the world, they have a brain, what is the word? flatulence. So you have a brain fart. Every now and even the smartest people in the world. So Ted Cruz had a great big, you know, brain fart on national television during that Senate hearing. That's one camp. Now, the other camp is, you know what, Ted Cruz never really has been a true Trump supporter, and rightfully so, because of all of the horrible things Trump said about Ted Cruz's wife and Ted Cruz's father, suggesting that he had something to do with the assassination of JFK. So there's a lot of bad blood there, and much like Liz Cheney, the senator's family, they are cordial. They will support the president's agenda, but they do not support the man, and therefore it's over. That's it. Now, that's another camp. Now, there is a third camp, and the third camp is that Ted Cruz is plotting a run for the White House, and he is a closet rhino. I'm not sure that you can make that argument that he's a closet rhino, but there are people out there who are making that argument. Jenna Ellis on our program yesterday said that Ted Cruz was a rhino or is a rhino. I mean, his record would suggest otherwise. And you believe that Trump is, or that Cruz is running for the White House, and he is trying to put as much distance between the MAGA world and himself as humanly possible to attract establishment and never Trump Republicans. So I think there are three camps that our audience is in right now on this. A lot of people are just confused. They're like, what is going on? Maybe there's a fourth camp. Those of us who are confused and are wondering what the heck is going on. But do you believe that Ted Cruz helped himself with that interview last night on Tucker Carlson? Do you believe that, did that sway your thought, your opinion about Ted Cruz? We're going to open up the phone lines on this. Also going to weigh in on the Supreme Court hearings underway on this mandate. And folks, I am telling you, grab an iced tea, maybe something stronger, because there is some crazy stuff happening on the Supreme Court today. Unbelievable stuff. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com. And man, do we have all sorts of great stories, our Supreme Court coverage. We're Caleb Park, our managing editor, doing a live blog. So it's as it's happening, he's reporting on it, and you can follow all of the details there. But the question of this first half hour of the program, did Ted Cruz help himself or hurt himself yesterday on Tucker Carlson's show? We'll be right back, folks.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Wow, that was a great ham sandwich. Thanks to our good friends at Home of the Hams. That is the official name of the restaurant. Home of the Hams in Eads, Tennessee. And they brought us some delicious ham sandwiches for the entire crew here at the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Dave was the delivery guy. He brought it by one of our great listeners. Dave, thank you. And thanks to the folks over at Home of the Hams. And Grace, I know you haven't eaten the sandwich yet because you're going to be passed out.
This is true.
It's an old-fashioned ham. You got your smoked ham. You got your white bread.
Yep.
Trying to figure out the mayo. That may be Duke's mayo. I'm not sure. A little tomato. Lettuce.
All the fixings.
And they did not go skimpy on the ham. You know,
they
this didn't. You'll be taking a nap by the second hour of the show.
I'm watching producer Kyle over here. He's chowing down on me.
I'm just surprised my microphone is on right now. So, all right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Kingsport, Tennessee, over in the eastern part of the state. George listening to us on the great WABM, our affiliate there. Hey, George, what's on your mind today?
You guys aren't helping my diet any talking about that delicious ham sandwich.
George, let me tell you something. If you're on a diet, you don't need to be listening to this show. right out of the gate.
Yeah. I wanted to comment about the Tucker and Ted Cruz. I thought it was great because Tucker took Ted to the woodshed, and Ted said, I misspoke. I shouldn't have said it that way. And I don't think it's time to kick Ted Cruz under the bus. You got to look at his body of work and his voting record over the years. So, man, the guy's about the most solid conservative in the Senate, and I don't blame Tucker for being tough on him.
No, look, I appreciate Tucker being tough, and that's one of the things we've done on this program, and it scared off a couple of folks that used to be regulars here because, you know, we don't work off of talking points, and if somebody has done something that is out of character, we call them out on it, and I thought Tucker did a terrific job of doing that last night.
I started my show. I do a show here on WBN just before your show. I'm on from 9 to noon Eastern time. And I started my show with a thumbs up and a thumbs down. The thumbs up was for the Tucker Cruz interview, and the thumbs down was against Fox News for the idiot piece that they did with Liz Cheney on Special Report.
Yeah,
are you aware of that?
We are, and we're going to get to that a little bit later on in today's program, George. And my concern, you know, we talked to we had Congressman Andy Biggs on the show yesterday. And it was I'm puzzled by Liz Cheney because she has been a rock solid conservative. She was probably one of the top Trump supporters of the agenda, the Trump agenda in Congress. But her hatred of this president has just it sent her over the edge. And, you know, it's unfortunately I don't think there's any coming back for her.
No, I think you're right. She has a plan. There's got to be a reason why she's doing this. And I saw a piece earlier by, who was it? But he was talking about her future. And he doesn't think it's going to be at CNN or something like that. But she's going to get on some kind of advisory committee and probably make a lot of money.
Well, I mean, if history is any indicator, she'll probably be on the board of directors at Fox News Channel along with Paul Ryan.
Please, no.
So to speak. Well, George, man, we hope you guys are enjoying the show up there. We love all of our great listeners in that part of the country.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you and your show.
All right, George. Thanks for calling in. And folks there in the eastern part of Tennessee, you can hear George. He's the lead up to our show, noon to 3 Eastern. All right, let's go to Missouri. Pastor Charlie is on the line on our live stream. Hi, Pastor. What do you think about old Cruz?
Well, Todd, I believe this, that Ted Cruz did not help himself at all with his interview with Tucker at all. In fact, it made it worse for as far as I'm concerned, and I think that he is what you would call a snake in the grass waiting to pounce on the presidential nomination.
You think so? What makes you think he's a snake in the grass?
Well, just the way he did his interview or his statement that he made the other day, and then on the deal, he kind of reneged a little bit, don't you think? And just said that, hey, no, I can't do that. I've got to make people in our country be more affectionate toward me, and he said opposite, so he lied about it. So I think he's a snake in the grass.
Well, Pastor, we're going to see how all this plays out. I think that Ted Cruz is coming out of this wounded. I don't know if it's a fatal blow or not. Time will tell. I will say this, if he plans on being a primary challenger and Donald Trump is running, I think that is a fatal flaw right there. As Lindsey Graham, and as Lindsey Graham, and I don't agree with Lindsey Graham on a lot of stuff, but Lindsey Graham said if Trump wants the nomination, it's his. And I think every Republican needs to get in line with that sort of thinking. Otherwise, you're going to have a civil war within the Republican Party. It's that simple.
When we do that, it'll split and we'll lose it.
All right, Charlie, you're right about that. Got to run, sir. We got to take a break here. Thanks for the call. Coming up, we've got Rand Paul. Senator Rand Paul is going to drop by for a few minutes. We're also monitoring the Supreme Court hearings right now over the mandatory vaccine policies. I can tell you right now, all of the liberals on the bench are in agreement. And by liberals, I'm not including the Chief Justice here. But if the Chief Justice joins the libs and he gets another, if it's Kavanaugh or someone else, then we're all screwed here. But the liberal justices are saying, how dare you people question Joe Biden? Who do you think you are? Hearing a lot about opinion, not a lot about the Constitution or the law. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Normally around this time of year, I get the sniffles and sneezes, stuffy head fever, you know the drill. But not this year, thanks to my friends at Immuno 150. I love these guys. Immuno 150 was formulated specifically to improve your immune system. Immuno 150 is made from 70 plant minerals along with 80 other nutrients. It provides your body the health and vitality it needs during the cold and flu season. Now, over the past 2 years, all of us have been focused on the importance of good health and building a strong immune system. And that's why I'm such a big fan of Immuno 150. Their product protects my body and helps me fight against any sort of sickness. Immuno150.com/Todd is the website. Or you can call 888-306-8855. That's 888-306-8855. Or visit Immuno150.com/Todd. That's Immuno150.com/Todd. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's head right over to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, one of my favorites up on Capitol Hill, our good friend from the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Senator Rand Paul. Hey, Senator, hope you're having a happy new year.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Senator, you have been leading the charge on this fight against big tech censorship and making some headlines after you decided to leave YouTube. Why did you decide to do that?
You know, I'm kind of sick and tired of all the big tech folks lording it over all of us in flyover country, think they're better than we are, think they can edit our stuff, censor our stuff. It really is obnoxious to the idea of free speech and really the idea of how we arrive at truth. I mean, most segments of our, you know, of philosophy or religion or jurisprudence are arrived at through disputation. Each side presents their arguments and the public figures out the truth or the jury figures out the truth. But if you censor one side of it, I think you're going to end up with groupthink, and I think that's it's going to be a real problem for our country.
And to that point, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene shared some things on Twitter the other day that got her permanently banned. But in reality, that was information from a government website. Again, it's as if there is a narrative that the mainstream media is going with, especially when it comes to the China virus. And they are not going to let anybody put anything out there on their platforms that will run contrary to their opinion.
Well, it's selective censorship. So, for example, I've been saying for over a year now that cloth masks don't work. I consider that to be a service to tell the public that, because if you're taking care of, you're 80 years old and your elderly spouse has COVID, to protect yourself, you shouldn't wear a cloth mask because they don't work. And so it's silly to have mandates for things that don't work, but it's actually life-threatening if you tell an elderly person that a cut-up piece of T-shirt is going to protect them from COVID when it doesn't. So I think this is a very, very important debate, and I think the misinformation coming from Fauci et al. is really leading to deaths because it's getting people to engage in risky behavior. And people need to know that if you're in the hospital and the doctor goes in the COVID patient's room or the nurse goes in, they only go in with an N95 mask. They do not wear cut-up pieces of undergarments as masks. They do not wear cotton masks. Sure, they're comfortable. They just don't work. And so this is really a dishonesty on the part of Fauci, but it's a dishonesty that actually could cause lives to be lost. But think about it. One of Biden's officials, this Osterholm, said the same thing I did. Nobody took him down because he's a Democrat. That woman on CNN who's, you know, is as far left as you can get, this infectious disease doctor who's been for everything in the world as far as mandates, she finally said on the air the other day that cloth masks are nothing more than facial decoration. And nobody bans her. But every time I say something about cloth masks, if you put this up on YouTube, guess what? They'll take it down from YouTube. And so I don't want to have any part to do with small, closed-minded people who can't stand to have an honest intellectual debate.
Now, I'm with you on that, Senator. I remember a couple of weeks ago, AP, the Associated Press, the first line of their sentence was that the flu took last year off. Well, that's intellectually dishonest. And so I post a little blurb on our Facebook page and said, no, it didn't take the year off. It was called COVID. And, wow, we got hit. We got nailed. So again, my issue with Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, I get it. They can, you know, they pay their bills. We use their services free, but they should not have any special protections if they are going to censor people that just because they have a different viewpoint.
Thing is, you know, the CEO of Twitter comes out and says the First Amendment doesn't apply to Twitter. Well, technically he's right. But it doesn't make it any less obnoxious or any less sort of arrogant that I would want to deal with a person like that. I don't want to deal with a closed-minded, narrow-minded sort of bigot who doesn't want to hear any kind of disputation that he disagrees with. That's not an intellectually honest debate. That's not a liberal notion. And so really, while it might be legal for them to censor me, at the same time, it doesn't mean that we should acquiesce to that, or that we should accept that as normal or associate. It's the kind of people that we should not want to associate with in polite society if they are people who believe in censoring your speech.
Senator Rand Paul on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator, when the Republicans controlled the House and the Senate during the Trump administration, there was an opportunity to do something, but nobody wanted to do anything. And I'm wondering why that was and what can we do to fix that?
Well, it's one of the things that infuriates me more than anything else. You will recall that we ran several elections saying, give us back the House, give us back the Senate. Oh, we need the presidency. Give us back the presidency, and we'll repeal Obamacare. You may have heard that once or twice over the last 10 years. And yet, once we got it, they didn't repeal Obamacare. And you know why? Because 7 Republican U.S. senators voted to keep Obamacare. That's how come we have Obamacare, because of Republican senators, including a famous one from Arizona, no longer with us, but they all lied to their public. They ran on repealing Obamacare, and then when they had the chance to do it, every one of these guys, these men and women, voted to repeal it under Obama when he would veto it. We did the exact same bill. They hated it, but I forced them to vote on the exact same bill they had all voted for, and now they voted no when they knew that President Trump would sign it. So, yeah, this is a problem. It isn't just Republican versus Democrat. It's, if we get a Republican majority, we need Republicans who are actually worth, you know, their weight, that'll actually do something, that'll actually fight for us.
Now, I'm with you on that, Senator. And on that note, before we have to let you go, how are things looking in these early stages for the midterm elections?
I think we've never seen such incompetence in the White House. And so, you know, I wouldn't have guessed that it would be so lopsided at this point. But, I mean, the Biden evacuation of Afghanistan is probably go down as one of the worst military mistakes and military mishaps in our history. The inflation that's rampant throughout the country is coming from the massive amount of borrowing and spending that they've proposed. And so I think those two things together, they just can't escape it. Every day people go to the gas pump and see how much less money they have because it's going in their gas tank. Every day people go to the grocery store and see this. So I would say they're doing so bad that all of the polls are leaning our way. But in the end, you can't win just because the other guy's bad. Republicans need to put forward what they're for. And if they really are the party that I say we should be, of limited constitutional government, we got to be for it. We got to actually be for it. But that means voting against the spending and not saying, oh, we'll vote for half as much as the Democrats vote for. No, we need to vote for what the Constitution says, which if the powers weren't granted under the Constitution, these activities are left to the states and the people. So we'll see. But if Republicans can put forward candidates that truly believe in limited constitutional government and being left alone and freedom, I think we can. But we'll see what happens.
Senator, where do you think this pandemic is going? I mean, I still go back to the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and here we are years later. What's the end game with all of this, you think?
We need honesty from the people on TV that are hyping this. They need to quit the hysteria. Omicron right now has a death rate that is 75% less than the variant that we had in January of last year. So 1 year later, the death rate 75% less. Now, that being said, I have friends right now who are sick. And what I'm, you know, on the phone right now and talking to their doctors is there is treatment. So instead of Fauci just putting your head in the sand and say, be vaccinated, most of my friends are vaccinated that are sick right now. I'm trying to get them treatment if they're very sick. And your viewers need to know the monoclonal antibodies is probably the best if you're very sick, if you're either overweight or you're older, monoclonal antibodies. But the Biden administration has screwed up the supply chain. They've canceled the orders. The government owns all of it. So there are shortages all across the country, and people are calling me and saying, where do I get it? Where do I get it? The Biden administration won't send it. So that's the number one treatment. But there's another treatment that is an antidepressant called fluvoxamine. It's been out 20 years, maybe 30 years. It's safe. It's been used millions of times. And there are studies showing that it has anti-inflammatory properties. It's not as controversial as some of the others. Even the mainstream medical community accepts this. It'll probably cost you $10. So if you can't get any other treatment and your doctor says throws up their arms, ask them about fluvoxamine and see if your doctor will look it up and see if he'll agree or she'll agree to prescribe it for you. That has a chance of lessening your inflammation. Also, there's something called inhaled steroids, Pulmicort. Kids take it for asthma. Parents take it. It's been out there forever. That can lessen your symptoms if it's getting into your lungs as well. The other treatment, if there aren't any monoclonal antibodies out there, there's a drug called remdesivir that they were giving in the hospital later in the course for sick people. They had a study come out in the last couple of weeks saying that if you get it earlier, it works maybe as well as the monoclonal antibodies. Most of these things don't work once you're on the ventilator very well. That's why a lot of people die. You need to get the treatment the first 5 days of you being sick. And unfortunately, I've never seen Fauci tell anybody that. He's on the television all day long, and he never tells you what you really need to know is you need to get the treatment in the first 5 days of your illness.
All right. You know what we're going to do, Senator Paul and Dr. Rand Paul? We're going to post, folks, we're going to post all of this information on our website, toddstarnes.com. You'll also be able to download this interview so you can get that all of this very important information that the senator just shared with us. Senator, we're going to leave it there. We always appreciate the time you spend with us and hope you have a happy new year, sir.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, Senator Rand Paul from the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and that is some excellent information that he's given us, and we will have access to all of that over on the website, so you can check that out. We've got to take a break here, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
I am a little particular when it comes to bath towels. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I want to tell you about my good buddy, Mike Lindell, over at MyPillow. Not only do they make great pillows, they also make incredible towels. Mike found the best towel company right here in the USA, and they have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft, but actually work. Again, all made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Here's what you're going to get. A six-piece towel set, normally $109, but now only $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes, and you are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including those awesome towels. Enter the promo code STARNES or call 800-839-8506 for this incredible radio special. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes.
right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Let's go right to the phones, 844-747-8868. Jim on the line from the great state of Arkansas. All right, Jim, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm actually from Montana, driving to Arkansas. I'm a proud Montana, but I want you to know I recommended you to my son years ago when he asked for good conservative reading. When he's the student body president of Hillsdale College at the time.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, look, Mr. Starnes, I would implore you, I would implore Americans, when we start talking about the incompetence of this government, I would implore you to remember 5 days before the election, 06, Obama promised us a fundamental transformation of America. And I fell off the couch, and I thought, why is he saying this now? The election's in the bag. He just let the cat out of the bag. And I want people, when we're beside ourselves over this, what we're tempted to call incompetence, I want you people to ask themselves, could this be by design? Does it contribute to a fundamental transformation of America? Does it contribute to the overall chaos we're experiencing, which is the primary strategy of Marxism to set the stage over for their revolution? And I implore people to take it to the deepest level. And I want them to hold out the possibility. Some of this stuff isn't just stupidity. It's by design, and we don't know who's designing it.
Oh, well, let me jump in here, Jim. No, there's nothing stupid about what they're doing. They are very smart, and they are very methodical, and they are devious, but even more so than that, they are patient. And they have been fundamentally transforming our nation, Jim, for at least a generation now. And they've been using our public school system to transform the country. That's been the engine driving the change in this country.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Starnes, if I may, you had Biggs on a prior interview, and he was referring to this conduct as incompetence. And that's what I'm talking about. We are tempted to look at it at level 3 under the surface. And I'm asking, look at it at level 4 or level 5. At the deepest, darkest level, what is really going on here?
Yeah, Jim.
I myself am tempted to call it incompetence from time to time and ask, why are they doing that? Well, they don't care that gas is $5 a gallon.
No, they don't. They don't care that you're, and they want you to rely on the government for everything. This is the ultimate. That's why they don't care that people are not going back to work. They don't care that small businesses are being forced to shut down. They don't care because they want everyone in this country reliant upon the federal government for everything, from health care to food to housing to clothing to education. And Jim, you're right. I mean, I'm working on the new book. It'll be out next September or this coming September. And the whole point of this, it's real, almost the conclusion of a trilogy, from Godless America to Culture Jihad to this. The new book is called American Homecoming. And the point that you're making and that we're making on this radio program, Jim, is that there is a fundamental transformation, and it is happening right under our very noses.
Fight the good fight.
All right, Jim, God bless you. You be safe out there on the roadways, and give us a holler back one of these days. I like the way you think. And folks, this is a thinking man's radio program. I mean, yes, we talk about delicious ham sandwiches from Home of the Hams in Eads, Tennessee, but a man's got to eat. But you got to think, too, and that's what we do on this radio program. You can't take everything as an isolated incident. Everything is connected. We talk about puzzle pieces on this radio program. And that's what it's all about. By the way, if you go to our live show blog right now, and the headline, America Should Be Very Concerned About SCOTUS, you will see a link to our app. And we're really encouraging you to get this app so you can listen to our radio program wherever you are around the nation. Jim just happened to be driving through Arkansas. We have some great radio stations that carry our program in Arkansas. But you may not be in an area that carries our program on your radio station. And this is the best way for you to get our show, all 3 hours, free of charge. And better than that, You're also going to be able to hear the Sebastian Gorka show. You're going to be able to hear the Lars Larson show, the Larry Elder show. It's some great conservative talk shows right at your ready, and you'll be able to listen to them wherever you might be across America. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, we're very excited about Dr. Ben Carson. He's going to be here in just a matter of moments. We'll also be talking to some folks from the Family Research Council, getting them to weigh in on the analysis of what's been happening over at the Supreme Court. Justice Sotomayor actually said that 100,000 children are on ventilators.
We have hospitals that are almost at full capacity with people severely ill on ventilators. We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators.
Oh, that's not true. There is absolutely no truth to what just came out of that woman's mouth. There's no proof. Even the CDC has refuted those numbers. We need to be very alarmed at the liberals on the Supreme Court. And the reason why is because John Roberts, depending on what day it is one of those liberals. And we just better pray that today's not one of those days. But that's absurd, and that is a falsehood being uttered from the highest court in the land. That should alarm every freedom-loving American listening to this program. All right, we've got more of that coming up, as well as your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody. By the way, where's Grace Baker? Grace, put down that ham sandwich. Got a question to ask you.
Shoot.
So, Mike Pompeo.
Yeah.
Have you seen the photographs? Have you seen the story?
I saw that was trending. So, I'm going to pull up the photo.
You've
right
got to pull up the photo. And then we've got to ask Kyle, who is our engineer, a member of the Starnes family. We used to say Starnes clan back in the day, but that's kind of inappropriate these days. You can't use that word, even though it's what everybody always used to. Well, anyway, but Kyle is also a personal trainer. I mean, he does like he's healthy.
He is healthy.
Yeah, so he'll eat like a salad instead of the ham sandwich.
Yes.
Except for today, because I saw him chowing down on that ham sandwich. Secretary Mike Pompeo has been on a weight loss campaign. You know, he was a pretty big dude, right?
Yeah.
And
big, tall.
He's a tall guy. Mm-hmm. Military veteran. He'd make a great president one day, in my estimation. So, also former CIA director, good guy there in the heartland. And, you know, everybody in Kansas, they eat beef. I mean, that's what they have, steaks and corn. That's it. Not much else there. So Pompeo lost all of this weight.
I pulled up the picture.
This is unbelievable.
This is like on the, did you ever watch The Biggest Loser?
Yes.
Twitter reminds me of.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. So he lost 90 pounds.
I think always when I see these transformations, I always look at the face. Like the face is so different.
You know, he looks like Mike Huckabee. You know, when Mike Huckabee, back in the day, back when Mike Huckabee was running for the White House, he was bigger than Mike Pompeo.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost all of this weight and started running like marathons and all that kind of stuff. And looked the same for the transformation.
Yeah.
But Mike Pompeo, here's what's interesting, is that Pompeo lost all of this weight in 6 months.
That's really impressive.
That's it. He said all he did was exercises. So he says he has a home gym. He's got some dumbbells and an elliptical machine. I go down there 5-6 times a week and exercise for a half an hour. There's nothing scientific, no trainer, no dietitian. It was just me. And he says he lost 90 pounds in 6 months. Is that possible?
Yeah. Eating right and exercising.
Really?
And men lose weight a lot easier than women do also. And when you're bigger like that, big tall guy, I mean, I think just initially doing anything, you see it on The Biggest Loser, they'll drop like 20 pounds, like boom. And then the rest of the way is slow going.
Oh, he stopped eating cheeseburgers.
I was going to say, I mean, again, if he was just eating at home and cooking and not even just not eating out.
So, because a lot of people are now questioning whether or not Pompeo, if he got the surgery, you know, that's what people are asking.
I don't know why he'd lie about that, though.
That's true, because you know there's going to be a nurse or a doctor who's a lib who's going to spill the beans.
I don't know why that would be the thing to lie about.
His favorite, by the way, the Pompeo's favorite restaurant, take a wild guess, the favorite restaurant of the Pompeo.
Is this a very popular chain?
I will say it's a very popular chain.
Okay, Logan Steakhouse.
IHOP.
What?
He's an IHOP guy.
Okay.
I just think it's great. The former director of the CIA, is probably doing spy business over a stack of blueberry
pancakes.
They
are open at like all hours, so
that is true. Oh no, you know what he loves? His favorite. Take a wild guess what Pompeo's favorite pancakes are at IHOP.
Chocolate chip.
No. One more.
Blueberry.
No. Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
He's a pumpkin pancake guy.
Ugh.
Smothered in syrup.
Oof.
Oh, here we go. But this is terrible. Quote, we still go, this is from the New York Post, by the way. So Secretary Pompeo, who has dropped 90 pounds in 6 months, and I say, good for you, Mr. Secretary.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody wants to be healthy. And I was thinking about that. I was eating that delicious ham sandwich. By the way, people just now listening and joining us, they're like, why? What are you people talking about? So in the last hour, we had a special delivery from a place in Eads, Tennessee, called Home of the Hams, and they actually are known as having the best ham in all of Tennessee, and there were delicious ham sandwiches. Secretary Pompeo would not approve.
No, his diet probably would not approve.
And I've been trying to convince him to come to do an event in Memphis, Tennessee, and I feel bad now because the only food we have is like barbecue.
We can find some stuff.
Yeah, but what's the point? You know, what is the point?
We can have a cheap meal.
Yeah, but you know, if you're gonna dodge the bullets from the war zone that is Memphis, Tennessee, you should at least have some good ribs.
Got to.
Anyway, Pompeo says, yeah, we still go to IHOP as a family. It's important not to take those traditions away. That's good. But he says now we get egg whites and turkey bacon.
Oof.
I just got a little throw up in my mouth. I mean, that's sad. Look, I'm all about healthy eating and everything and taking care of yourself. But if you're going to IHOP, you're going for the pancakes.
Yeah, because I would just rather make the eggs at home and stuff and do, I would, you know.
And nobody eats, who eats egg whites? Who eats, I've never met somebody who eats the egg whites.
A lot of people do.
Wait, Kyle?
Kyle does.
Well, Kyle eats the egg whites.
I've also had turkey bacon. It's fine. It's not my favorite, but it's fine.
No, it tastes like turkey, though. That's the thing. Well, it tastes like turkey.
Yes, it's turkey bacon.
No, but it shouldn't taste like turkey. It should taste like pig. If it's bacon,
well, it's turkey.
No, no, no. Bacon is bacon. That's a turkey strip, then. They ought to call it a turkey strip. Well, that sounds a little inappropriate.
I was going to say, appetizing.
Take off those feathers, baby. Take off those feathers. No, but what I'm saying is like McDonald's. Remember McDonald's back in the day? When you went to McDonald's, the healthy food item was the nuggets, the chicken nuggets, right? That was the healthy stuff. And
sure.
then, no, seriously. I mean, this is before you were born.
Okay.
And so you didn't have a lot of menu choices. You had the quarter pounder with cheese and the Big Mac and the cheeseburger with the Happy Meal. And then they introduced chicken nuggets. And that was, or McNuggets is what they called it.
McNuggets.
McNuggets. But then they introduced salads. And so even as a kid, I'm wondering, all right, who in their right mind goes to McDonald's to get a salad?
That's true.
Really, it's fast food. So you're better off just, you know, making something, you know, in your home, in the fridge.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know why people are all, they're just going after Mike Pompeo. I mean, the guy's lost a lot of weight. You know, the story, there was a story a couple of years ago that President Trump, one of the bees in his bonnet, one of the things that really sets him off, or he just doesn't like being around fat people.
Well, that's... I'm just saying that.
No, I'm just those
not
were the
to
reports.
Say he's like obese, but he's not like skinny.
No, but I mean, you know, he's
last
healthy.
Time I checked his last time I checked his favorite food was apparently a Big Mac.
So look,
that
the New York
like, on a regular basis.
By the way, the New York Post story has a photograph alongside of this massive pile of a stack of pancakes, dripping with looks to be like syrup and lots of butter.
Looks pretty good to me.
Apparently there's some fruit, so I guess that's the healthy.
There you go. Put fruit on top of it. It's healthy, right?
So this is interesting because I can relate to Pompeo because, you know, I lost a lot of weight and picked up running and then broke my ankle doing the Nashville half marathon, country music half marathon. I was right around Belmont University where this happened, Grace.
I hate running.
Well, look, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it when I did it. And I ran for about 10 years. And we were doing the half marathon, and there was a Gretchen Wilson cover band. Remember the song Redneck Woman from Gretchen Wilson? I'm a Redneck Woman.
Sorry, doesn't ring
I'm
a bell.
All right, Kyle will pull that up, and he will start playing that as I'm continuing to tell this story. It's one of my favorite country music songs. And so anyway, you're trying to run, and they've got the cover band, and people are having a good time.
Sure.
You know, you got people, spectators cheering you, you're trying to,
come
I was trying to clap.
Time.
Right, exactly. And I did not see the storm drain, and so I took a tumble. So
no.
I did finish the race. And, this is it. This is the Redneck Woman. Grace, this could be your theme song.
My theme song?
Yes.
I'm not a redneck woman.
Well, I don't know about
I'm
that.
I'm a city girl.
I ain't never.
Been the Barbie doll type.
Been the Barbie doll type. Do you like Barbie dolls?
No, I can't swig that sweet champagne. I'd rather drink beer all night.
Ew.
You're not a beer girl?
Champagne all the way.
I'm in a honky-tonk. I'm on a four-wheel drive tailgate.
You see?
Nope.
I've got posters on my wall of Skinner, Kid, and Straight.
George Strait.
Some people look down nope. on me.
Here it comes.
With a baby on my hip, 'cause I'm a redneck woman.
You know, I wonder if Miss Janice in New Orleans is a redneck woman.
She mows her own lawn, remember?
That could be a line. She mows her own lawn. I love it.
Which I respect.
But I guarantee you, though, we do have a lot of redneck women that listen to this program.
Yes, I would agree.
I would say you're an honorary redneck woman.
Okay.
How's that? Because you've been to the axe throwing bars, right?
I have. But I never got the axe to stick on the wall. I was one of two people in the whole group who
did it stick in a person? That's
no.
All right. Well, that's okay. I'm just that's good.
Jeez.
Anyway, Pompeo. So the way I can relate to him is so I broke my ankle and that was the end of that. But he had a foot injury and that's when he said he put on 100 pounds over the course of 10 years. And there you go. So anyway, good for you. Well, look, I say good for you, Secretary Pompeo. And if you can lose it the natural way, I think that's always the best. That's all I'm trying to say. So all of that to say, Grace, this was supposed to be a one-minute conversation that has turned into an entire segment. Right, exactly. But 844-747-8868, that is our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. If you are like me, you are just wiped out with these cable bills. And, you know, I've been talking about cutting the cord for ages. The challenge is, can you still get TV shows that you watch, like Newsmax TV, for example? And the answer is absolutely yes. Millions of Americans are watching Newsmax. I watch it all the time. You can get it on your cable system, but you can also get it free on a streaming platform of your choice. You can watch Newsmax on smart TVs like Vizio, LG, Samsung. All you have to do is find Newsmax on your hub guide. Newsmax also streams free on Chromecast, Apple TV, Pluto, Amazon Fire, Roku, you name it. And get this, folks, more than 7 million people have now downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphone. No subscription. All you got to do, download, takes about 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and boom, start watching. Forbes magazine called Newsmax a news powerhouse, and there's no doubt about it, with great shows like Rob Schmidt, Mike Huckabee, and Greg Kelly. It's a source I trust, and you can trust too. Newsmax, ladies and gentlemen, it's real news for real people.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Vaccine, when
it's your turn, go get it, please don't wait. Ooh.
What is this?
Stay at home, that's not known. I'm so sick of my cats back home. I'm quarantining every surface that I see. Protect the whole community, let's lock down herd immunity. Please go get your shot ASAP. I'm running out of shows to binge. My COVID hair that makes me cringe. Even my dog is getting sick of me. And I can easily understand how some of you...
Can I just say something here about that, Grace Baker? I
yes,
just so I that's an all gals choir. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, I found this on the Instagram, and it's a whole group of women. And if you hear them, they're like, "Get your shot ASAP."
I have. First of all, they have desecrated one of the greatest songs of all time,
and now that's going to be stuck
that
in my head
a,
instead,
that
which is
a
their
desecration.
Goal. And I'll give them that. But, oh, my God.
I haven't seen the choir, so I don't know. But it's an all-female choir.
Oh, yeah.
I have to imagine they're wearing, like, turtleneck sweaters
yep.
and Birkenstocks.
They're wearing all, like, black.
Geez,
just black. Lot. You know, like, black shirts. That's mm-hmm. it.
Are they a Lebanese choir?
There are...
I'm just asking. I just,
women of all...
A diverse.
Yes,
a
very
diverse.
Diverse.
So they're... There's,
all ages, you know. I don't see any, like,
wow.
kids, but...
Wow. It's kind of like that other choir. Remember the San Francisco choir? We're coming for your kids.
That's what it reminded
oh,
me of.
Golly.
But, you know.
I think I would rather have the egg whites and turkey bacon over at IHOP than have to listen to that again. Jeez, Lou. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Glad to have you with us. Hey, do you guys remember? Now, Grace, you were not even thought of back in the 1970s.
Not even a twinkle in your mother's eye.
I don't even think your mother was a twinkle.
She was
and
a
her mother,
twinkle.
A little twinkle. All right. So back in the 19, that's weird. Back in the 1970s, during the administration of Jimmy Carter. Grace, y'all right there?
I'm sorry. I just lost it.
You look a little out of it.
It
right
was the
now.
Music in this. Okay.
So Jimmy Carter delivered a speech. I mean, the country is actually worse now than it was in the 1970s. But Jimmy Carter decided to give a speech, but instead of encouraging America, he wanted to tell the country, we're going to hell in a handbasket. Take a listen.
It is a crisis of confidence. It is a crisis that strikes at the very heart and soul and spirit of our national will. We can see this crisis in the growing doubt about the meaning of our own lives and in the loss of a unity of purpose for our nation. The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people.
And it's y'all's fault for electing a peanut farmer as president of the United States.
Can I just say, I've never like watched that speech before until today. And his mouth is moving, but like
yes.
he looks like he's had Botox and he can't like move his eyebrows. It's kind of creepy.
I had too much Billy Bill back in the day. I'm kind of like, you know, Miss Lillian, who is my mama. She said I would never amount to nothing.
But you're right. His mouth moved. And I mean, his mouth did not move. It was just words were coming out. And he had these huge teeth. It was, and he still does. He still has all of his teeth, I do believe. But anyway, it was just weird. So anyway, all that was going on, and he was. You might remember this, folks. He was sitting beside a fireplace. He had he had a little cardigan sweater on, and we looked like we were the weakest people on the face of the earth. Meanwhile, people were standing for hours in line waiting to get gasoline. There were gas shortages. Nobody could go anywhere. Nobody could do anything. It was a horrible time. Turning off lights to conserve energy. So now Kamala Harris has decided to embrace Jimmy Carter.
You know, COVID, for example. I mean, everybody is frustrated with that. And I understand and I fully appreciate there is a level of malaise where in 2 years into this thing, you know, we want to get back to normal.
Malaise. That's what they called Jimmy Carter's speech back in the day. The only thing she's missing is a cardigan sweater, a fireplace, and a great big smile on her face. She's got the cackle down, but, you know, it's just very strange. So anyway, all that to say, folks, we're heading into a very dark period of American history. Biden warned us about that. Remember, he said we were coming into a dark winter. And it's true. I mean, we're going to make it out on the other side. I think we are. I'm pretty hopeful we are. But it's going to take a little bit of time. We're going to go through some rough patches. But there you go, the malaise. You guys remember old Jimmy Carter, Mr. Jimmy. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. What's that number, Jimmy? Why, just call 844-747-8868.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us on the Todd Stearns Radio Program, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. By the way, now is a great time to head over to the website and download our free app. You can find the link to that in our live show blog and also sign up for the newsletter. 250,000 people now subscribe to the daily newsletter. It comes out immediately after the program, and you're going to want to get a copy of that, especially to check out the interview we did with Senator Rand Paul. All right. Well, I've had a lot of former colleagues from the Fox News corner of the world on the program. Trish Regan, Bill O'Reilly. We've had all sorts of folks, and I'm very excited about our next guest. He has just been named the chief White House correspondent for Newsmax TV. And I told him this back when he was at Fox News. He really is one of the best journalists in all of America. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend James Rosen. James, good to have you with us today.
Todd, great to be back with you, and thank you for your kind words.
And congratulations on the new gig. How are you liking things over at Newsmax?
Well, they're very good to me here, and I've had an opportunity to report from the White House and to do what I do best, I think, and so I'm very grateful.
Well, they're good people. We've been partners with them for about a year now, and they're doing it the way it needs to be done, and they made a very, very smart choice in bringing you on board. Let's just jump right.
Kind to say so. Now, wait a minute. Just before we go any further, do I recall seeing, and forgive me, if correct me if I'm wrong, that you were recently engaged? Is that correct?
Not to my knowledge, James.
Okay. I must be thinking of another fortunate fellow, but please let's continue. I'm sorry for that.
I don't know. We had a pretty kicking company Christmas party, so who knows? I'll go back and check that out. You know, James, we were looking at some of the polling data coming out this week. Biden's approval ratings at an all-time low. You had Kamala Harris uttering the words malaise, hearkening back to the Jimmy Carter era. I'm curious what your observations are now that you are back inside the White House.
Well, the job approval ratings, of course, are concerning for this White House. President Biden has been underwater. According to the average of major reliable polls that is compiled daily by the website realclearpolitics.com, he's been underwater, according to that average of polls, since mid-August, approximately since the time that Afghanistan fell to the Taliban. It's been stubborn at this point. Of course, the Biden White House will tell you that President Trump, Mr. Biden's predecessor, never even reached 50% in his approval ratings across the entirety of his term. But nonetheless, I think these sentiments, as captured in these recurring polls that show Mr. Biden underwater, reflect the view of the American electorate that they don't see the country trending in the right direction right now, even though there is some good economic data to be seen in even in today's report, which showed slower jobs growth in December than in November. They just don't get the sense that the country is headed in the right direction. This is not all to be attributed to Mr. Biden's leadership or his policies or his communication of those things, but certainly some measure of it is.
Do you get a sense from and again, you're on the news side of the operation at Newsmax. Do you get an indication, a feel for the mood within the White House staff? Are you sensing frustration?
Well, I think there is frustration in the sense that they are buffeted by events. They, of course, didn't see the Omicron variant of the coronavirus coming, and it's having an impact. I'm sure that there's frustration with Joe Manchin, because the Democratic senator from West Virginia, who's a centrist, almost single-handedly torpedoed what was at this point over the last several months the signature domestic legislative initiative of the Biden administration, which was this Build Back Better plan that they haven't given up on, but they've had to pare back several times. And now is sort of back at the drawing board. And Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, has expressed that frustration with Senator Manchin quite vividly. It's still early in this term. They're less than 1 year into it. We still have, in political terms, eons to go before the midterm elections. So I think that the Biden White House is also convinced that they still have more to accomplish and more to sell.
There is early thinking, and I was reading some analysis this morning, that the Republicans are going to win big in the midterms. There is some inkling that they're going to retake the House of Representatives, Senate possibility. Curious what you are hearing and what are your observations?
That's the conventional wisdom right now, and I'm in no position to challenge it, Todd. I would say that the odds are, the smart money right now holds, that the Republicans will reclaim the House of Representatives. That typically happens where there is one party control of the government in the first term of a new administration. Right now, given those job approval ratings of President Biden's, there's no reason to challenge that conventional wisdom. It's not to say that that the Democrats are foreordained to losing the House, as we say, because there's a long time to go in politics between, there's many news cycles. We probably have had 16 news cycles pass just since you and I began speaking. So there's a lot that can happen
right
between now and November. But the Senate, it might be a more of a stretch for the Republicans. To some extent, this depends on the wild card out there known as Donald Trump, the former president of the United States, who remains effectively the most powerful or influential figure by many measurements, in the GOP today.
And as Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina said just a few days ago, if Trump wants the nomination, it's his. And I think that seems to be the thinking within the Republican Party, whether or not some of those never-Trumpers want to come to terms with that.
Well, and whether other rising stars within the GOP, such as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, want to acquiesce in that. I think Governor DeSantis is the rare potential presidential contender in 2024 for the Republican nomination who has not openly declared or publicly declared that if Mr. Trump should seek the nomination, that he, DeSantis, would desist. And I think the published reports are, anyway, that that's caused some tension between them. But the remarks we saw from President Biden yesterday, commemorating the first anniversary of the Capitol riot, which were so thoroughly focused on the former president, albeit without using his name, that was just remarkable because I don't know of an analog in modern presidential history where you have a president of the United States and a former president of the United States so much at odds so publicly and so forcefully. But I think those remarks from Mr. Biden showed that he remains well aware that Donald Trump could well emerge as his challenger in 2024.
And honestly, when you look at some of the failed policies of the Biden administration, that may be the campaign platform is running on that January 6th insurrection. I'm not sure that's a winning platform for him, but that was my takeaway from his those remarks. That was not it. There was nothing about healing or unifying the country yesterday coming out of Capitol Hill.
It wasn't a unifying speech, that's for sure. I don't think that you'll see Joe Biden or President Biden, in 2024, presuming he makes good on his declarations to run for re-election, campaigning particularly on January 6th. I think he's going to try and make the case, as most incumbents would and do, that he has made the lives of the American people, by and large, better off than they were 4 years prior. That's the famous question that then former Governor Reagan posed in the debates with then incumbent President Jimmy Carter in 1980, as he looked into the camera and asked the American people, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? It's a question that asks of the electorate that they should make a retroactive determination, that is to say that they should look backwards to 4 years prior and see where they are in the current moment relative to that. Donald Trump, as an incumbent president in 2020, I think had an opportunity to ask of Americans, and successfully to do this, that they might make a forward-looking determination, which is to say, of the two individuals arrayed before them, President Trump and former Vice President Biden, which of the two did they think would be better positioned to get the economy back to where it was before the onset of the coronavirus? That would ask of the American people that they make a forward-looking determination. But that really wasn't exactly the way Mr. Trump framed his campaign messaging.
Now, James, before we let you go, I just want to ask about some formatics there in the White House press briefing room. Back in my early days at Fox, I was the radio correspondent, so I worked down in the little basement in the cubbyhole down there. How is that working for you? Are you ready to go toe-to-toe with Jen Psaki, and how do you come up with the questions you're going to ask?
So right now, the seating in the White House press briefing room is restricted due to the Omicron surge. And so Newsmax, which has a seat in the briefing room, is unable to attend every briefing. We've been placed on a rotation along with a number of other news outlets. For example, it's called the E-Rotation, to get into the weeds of this. Newsweek is in the E-Rotation along with us, as are a number of other publications and outlets you've heard of. So we are due to attend the fourth briefing from today's, I believe. But that restriction and that rotation for now is set to end on January 21. There has been a lot of speculation that Jen Psaki is going to leave the White House and the administration sometime around that point. She had apparently made it clear that she only wanted to serve as press secretary for 1 year. So I may not have an opportunity to pose any questions to Ms. Psaki in the briefing room. I will be eager to do so. She and I have a long history dating back to when she was the State Department spokesperson, and I was covering the State Department at that time. And I think we always had a respectful relationship, and I would look forward to working with her again in that context over at the White House.
And you know, I actually had a working relationship with her back during the Obama campaign. I was the embed for our previous employer and traveled for months with that crowd. And, you know, we had a great time out on the road, always respectful and very professional in her dealings with us. So good stuff. All right, James, we're going to leave it there. Look, congratulations. We look forward to having you back on the program down the road, and we appreciate your great work.
Well, and congratulations to you on those nuptials, Todd.
Well, thank you. I'll be looking for the gift in the mail.
Look forward to speaking with you again.
All right, James Rosen, ladies and gentlemen, the chief White House correspondent over at Newsmax TV. Let me say this about James, and let me say something about Newsmax. Newsmax is playing hardball right now, ladies and gentlemen. James Rosen is one of the finest reporters in all of Washington, and for them to pick him up, put him in the White House, that means they're going to be going toe-to-toe with Fox News Channel. So very exciting news, and it's great to see. And I will just I love many of my former colleagues over back at Fox News Channel, but I will say this. The former colleagues of mine at Fox who now work at Newsmax, those folks are rock-solid conservatives. And James, he's a straightforward news guy. I don't know what his politics are. And that's really the way it ought to be when you're a news reporter. You shouldn't be wearing your politics on your sleeve. So anyway, good. And we'll get James back on a pretty regular basis as we break down what's happening in the White House. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. Do you see the comparisons? Those of you who survived through the Jimmy Carter years, do you see the comparisons between then and now? 844-747-8868. You know, we talk about our friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Have you signed up for their service? If not, what are you waiting for? You got to do this, folks. Patriot Mobile is an incredible organization, and they've got a great, great phone service. They use the same towers the other guys use. They've got plans to fit any budget. Are you a military veteran? Are you a first responder? If so, they're going to give you even greater discounts. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Now listen up. Whether you're going online or you're calling them, I want you to use the promo code Todd. That's promo code Todd, and they're going to hook you up with some great discounts at patriotmobile.com.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right, folks, I want to give you an update here, and we're going to be talking with Catherine Beck Johnson from over at Family Research Council about today's Supreme Court hearings on Biden's mandate. So what does the mandate say? Any business over 100 employees must require that the employees be vaccinated. And a Supreme Court hearing arguments, my understanding is we could get a ruling on this in just a couple of weeks. We're not going to be waiting months, and it may even be days. But Justice Sotomayor turned a lot of heads when she said 100. Well, here's what Justice Sotomayor had to say about children with the China virus.
We have hospitals that are almost at full capacity with people severely ill on ventilators. We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators.
You see, that's just simply not true, ladies and gentlemen. And during the break, we got some information from HHS. So these are the official government numbers. Now, Sotomayor says 100,000 children in serious condition with the China virus on ventilators. Not true. According to HHS, the number is 3,342. Those are the number of COVID cases, pediatric COVID cases, and many of those are simply incidental. In other words, if you're talking about a kid on a ventilator, maybe, I don't know, 10, 20, we're not talking about 100,000. We're talking about a very, very minuscule number. So that this is a dangerous thing when you have justices of the Supreme Court spreading this kind of false information. All right, let's go to the phones here. Tom, Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, the great radio station. All right, Tom, you remember those Carter years.
I do. And before we do that, I just want to say the present that you may be getting in the mail from James Rosen just might be your mail order bride.
That's frightening. Continue, Tom.
Sorry. Anyway,
jeez,
the Carter was, I think he's a good fellow or a decent fellow, But he was very misguided and very weak. But Biden, however, is corrupt from the get-go. He's a mean guy. He's corrupt. And I'll tell, I could go on, but the Christian part of me says that should be enough. That's the difference.
Look, Tom, I'm with you, and I know my fellow conservatives give me a hard time over this, but I too believe that Jimmy Carter, in his heart, is a good guy. His policies are horrific and horrifying,
yep.
And his position on abortion now is reprehensible. But back when he was president, back when he was, you know, in his 40s, he was a good old Southern Baptist guy from Plains, Georgia, a good old boy. And I think you're right. I think he was incompetent. He was not qualified to be president of the United States. And really, his election was a response to, you know, coming out of Watergate. So they wanted to take the country. The country wanted to go in a very different direction. I will say this, Tom. Thanks to Jimmy Carter, we got Ronald Reagan. And my dad was a lifelong Democrat until Jimmy Carter, and he became a Reagan Republican. So back in the day, it's a good point. Carter was incompetent, but Biden is evil. What do you think about that, folks? 844-747-8868. Hang tight if you're on the phones. We've got to take a break. Don't forget, head over right now to the website, live show blog. Sign up for the free Todd Stern Show app so you can listen to us wherever you might be across this great country. We'll be right back, folks.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here we go, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. A lot going on. It's a busy news day, and we're just breaking down the big stories of the week. Of course, we had the big dust-up between Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz last night. A lot of folks wondering, where is Senator Cruz going with all of this? And a lot of folks were wondering whether or not it was a good idea for him to go on Tucker Carlson's show. Do you think that helped? Do you think that helped Ted Cruz, or do you think it hurt him? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Also, the Supreme Court hearing arguments about the OSHA vaccine requirement. Any company over 100 employees, you have to be vaccinated or else face all sorts of fines. It's going to impact over 100 million workers. And I can just tell you, and my company, we don't employ 100 people, but we've got a good many people that work here at Starnes Media Group. And we're just not going to comply because, you know, if they go after the businesses with 100 or more employees, they're going to be coming after everybody else very soon. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Catherine Johnson is with our friends over at Family Research Council. She is the senior legal fellow there. Catherine, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
All right. So there's been a lot of scuttlebutt. There have not been videos of the proceedings, but we've heard the live audio, and I want to get your take on what we've heard so far. Any surprises in your estimation?
That's right. We were able to listen in to the oral arguments today, and it's really hard to know what the court's going to do. It was very clear that the liberal justices were very focused on COVID hysteria. With a lot of gross exaggerations that simply weren't grounded in fact. where the conservative justices were really honing in on the legal question at hand. You know, does Biden and his administration have the authority to mandate that these employers have all of their employees vaccinated? So it really wasn't a huge surprise that the liberal justices were just regurgitating talking points to COVID hysteria. But there were definitely some interesting questions at hand, specifically from the conservative justices.
You know, I'm paying close attention to Justice Roberts and the questions he's been asking. He noted that this is something the federal government has never done before, really almost casting some serious doubt on whether or not the government has the right to do something like this.
That's right. Justice Roberts kind of definitely played both sides, so it's hard to know where he will come down on it. But I think Alito's questioning also showed just how extraordinary this is. You know, he said vaccines are safe, but some people suffer adverse consequences. And has OSHA ever imposed any regulation that have adverse health consequences? And the Solicitor General is forced to admit that they have not. So it really does show just how extraordinary this is in the name of COVID.
It was rather extraordinary, and I was shocked by some of the statements and the questioning coming from the liberal justices and some of the untruths. We've been playing the audio of Justice Sotomayor saying that, 100,000 children have become seriously ill because of COVID, when in fact those are nowhere near the numbers. They were more base. It seemed to me, Catherine, they were basing their questions and their thoughts more on feelings as opposed to fact and the law.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's impossible to know where they got these numbers or these so-called facts. Like you said, just as Sotomayor said, there were over 100,000 children in serious conditions, when the current national pediatric COVID consensus from HHS is that it's just a little over 3,000 children, with many of their COVID being incidental, which is not why they're in serious condition. Justice Breyer says there's been over 750 million new cases, which is really just something for a country with about half that population. He also seemed to imply that if the whole country were vaccinated, there would be no COVID cases, which we know is not the case. What are so-called breakthrough cases are becoming more and more common, especially as it's pretty clear that the vaccine does not prevent transmission with the latest Omicron variant.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Family Research Council, Catherine Johnson. Now, Catherine, a lot of people think, okay, fine, it's a business. I don't have a business. Maybe I'm a minister. Maybe I won't run a religious school. But the reality is, this would impact everybody, including religious organizations. Is that right?
This really touches so many people. And it's very clear that this is just President Biden's first step in exerting his power and authority in the name of COVID. So it's important to stop him now and stop him before this goes into effect, because it's unclear what else he will use his so-called authority to stop COVID.
And this is a Pandora's box. I mean, if they're able to mandate vaccines for 100 employees or more, you know they're going to do it for everybody else. And then where do you draw the line? What else are they going to mandate?
That's exactly right. And this is almost 2 years into this pandemic. This isn't March 2020, when a lot is unknown, when there's not a lot of cures. This is almost 2 years into the pandemic, where we know the survival rate is over 99%. There's many effective cures, and the vaccine doesn't seem to be stopping transmission. So it's really unclear why they need this extraordinary power to issue a vaccine mandate.
All right. And Catherine, again, my insiders are telling me that we could possibly have some sort of a ruling, not, you know, in a couple of months, but maybe a couple of days, a couple of weeks.
That's right. Because this is planning to go into effect very soon, those fighting the vaccine mandate have asked for there to be an immediate stay. It's very clear that starting Monday, a lot of people will have to quit their jobs if this is imposed. And as we know, we're facing severe shortages in our country. And this is something our country can't afford, is to have hundreds and thousands of people quit their jobs. So this is something that we really need an emergency stay from the Supreme Court, and hopefully we will get that in the coming days.
All right. Well, Catherine, great information, and we appreciate your analysis, and we'll try to get you back on once the Supreme Court makes a decision.
That would be wonderful. Thanks so much for having me. It was great speaking with you.
All right. Catherine Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, senior legal fellow over at Family Research Council. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. I do have a question for you. Many of you are working at a company that is going to be impacted by this. And if the Supreme Court decides, you know what, we're going to let Biden's order stay, what will you do? If your company forces you to get the vaccine, what will you do? 844-747-8868 is our number. Now, Grace, we've been following. We have some new analytic devices. I love the internet analytics, you know, behind the scenes stuff. It fascinates me. Numbers. And we have a live stream of our radio program that is run through our radio station, KWAM, in Memphis, Tennessee. And so people all over America are able to listen to us if, in fact, you don't have our radio station or our show on your local radio station. So anyway, I want to give the top 10 markets that are listening at this very moment. So we have people from all of these cities listening to us at this very moment on the live stream. Of course, number one, take a wild guess what number one is.
Memphis.
Number two.
Little Rock.
Little Rock, Arkansas. Wow, you're good. What about number three?
On the KWAM app, I'm going to say South Haven, Mississippi.
No, Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia.
So here we go. Here are the top 10. Memphis, Tennessee, Little Rock, Arkansas, Atlanta, Georgia, Dallas, Texas, Jonesboro, Arkansas, Los Angeles, Chicago. Isn't that weird? Jonesboro, Arkansas, and then Los Angeles. Chicago, Birmingham, Alabama, Philadelphia, and Nash, Vegas.
Okay.
So welcome to all of our listeners. Anyway, we're just kind of dabbling around with that. But it's really been fascinating to see the growth of our digital platform.
Yes.
We have last month, 1.1 million people downloaded the podcast, well on that way already in January. And we're running close to about 2 million page views a month on the website. So
it's pretty great.
A lot of people. Look, Caleb Park, our managing editor, doing a terrific job. Great writers. Of course, you write for us. Chris Woodward, Ben Dieter, just some great writers that are putting out a lot of great conservative content. Well done. All right. You know what we're going to do? I'm going to throw out a trivia question, too, while we do that. Before we go to break, we've been talking a lot about Jimmy Carter. We want you to tell us the name of his famous brother, and what was he famous for? What was Jimmy Carter's brother? What was he famous for? So we need his name and what he was famous for. If you know the answer, we're going to hook you up with a copy of Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, my new book. 844-747-8868 if you know the answer. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right, hope you're having a good day across America. Man, we're having a good day here in Memphis, Tennessee. Going to be a good weekend. And I do want to thank our good friends over at Home of the Hams in Eads, Tennessee. We appreciate lunch delivered to the studio here. Hey, let's go to the phones. Salem, Oregon. D.C. is on the line from KYKN. D.C., how are you today?
I'm good.
Good. All right, D.C. So here's the question. We wanted to know the name of Jimmy Carter's brother and also why that brother was famous. What was he known for?
He was known for beer. He drank a lot of it.
He did drink a lot of it. What was that guy's name?
Billy Carter, Billy Beer.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Billy Carter, the younger brother of Jimmy, he actually owned and ran a gas station. And D.C., he was sort of like the early version of Hunter Biden because he was also a registered agent for Libya, if you remember that scandal back in the day.
I kind of do recall something like that.
Yeah, caused a bit of a stink. Billy also had a little problem. He liked to drink too much Billy beer and got himself in trouble when he unzipped his britches and took a pee on an airport runway right in front of the press corps. So. You know, everybody's got somebody like that in the family, right, TC?
That's right.
All right. Well, look, hang tight. I hope you're enjoying the good show, the show out there in Salem, Oregon on KYKN, our great station. All right. We're going to put him on hold, and Grace is going to get his information. Yeah, old Billy, he was a lot of fun for the press corps because he was always doing something crazy. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. I want to go to Brian in Minnesota. And Brian, I understand that you work in HR.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mr. Stern?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
About negative 20 degrees up here today.
Jeez, Lou, wait. Negative 20 degrees? Is that really such a thing?
It is today.
Oh, my goodness. You see, by the time, you know, when it's cold, it's cold. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
But that's...
To your point, I work in HR, and I tell you what, of all these people who have never run a business in their life or never needed to worry about staffing a building, want to make these laws, it's going to make my job impossible.
How so? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, if they keep making it so easy to stay home, then people are going to stay home. And then if they force the vaccine on everybody, I would say probably half my staff just refuse the vaccine. And that's their right. As you say, it's your body, your choice. That's between your doctor and yourself. And if they want to force that and I get, you know, half my staff leaves, I'm going to have a heck of a job, won't I?
What kind of, now you don't have to say the name of the company, but what sort of a business do you have?
I will tell you, it is the second largest company in the world.
Second largest company in the world. And so are you guys already starting to see these kinds of issues?
Yes. We, you know, it's now we're tracking who's vaccinated and who's not. And, it, you know, I don't like asking it. I don't like being the person in charge of all that, but it just comes with the territory, you know. So it just keeps progressing, and I'm sure eventually we're going to require it, and it just kind of scares a lot of my staff, and it's just, you know, it's going to make HR really hard to do. It's already hard enough, you know.
Well, I know here in this area we had one Walmart, for example, just shut down. They had to temporarily close for a couple of days, and now a second Walmart is shutting down temporarily, and they're having problems with staffing. You know, there's just not enough people.
Yeah, so they're probably facing a lot of the same troubles. I don't know why they would close a store, though. Isn't it airborne?
Well, you know, nothing makes sense these days, Brian. I mean, common sense is just out the window. It really is. What part of Minnesota are you calling from?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Woo! All right. You know, I have been, I will say this, out on the campaign trail, they sent me up to Minneapolis. And it was, I think, in early February, and I thought, there is no way I could live here. No way at all. It was frigid.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of the culture jihad books and all that, and I like reading you know, your books and sharing it with my kids because I think it's got a lot of great values and stuff in there and a lot of good eye-opening stuff, so I appreciate your books.
Well, you're kind to say that, Brian, and I think I appreciate you doing that, by the way. My new book is coming out in September, and I'm really excited. I think it's gonna really impact a lot of families because it is written for the family to kind of go through together, and that's what it's gonna take. You know, we've got to start educating our kids, and that starts at home. We cannot rely on the public school system to do that. So, Brian, God bless you. God bless you, and thank you for listening. And give us a call back one of these days, and stay warm.
Thank you, Todd.
All right.
You too.
My goodness gracious, minus 20 degrees. Grace Baker, I can't even imagine. I have a hard time with 31 degrees.
So when I visited Des Moines a couple years ago, they had their first snowstorm of the season when I visited, and I think it got to about negative 10. I will say, once it gets to like 5 degrees and then colder than that, it all feels just the same. It's just
terrible.
Cold.
It's cold. I've got to tell you this story. This is out of Vegas. So our folks on the Nevada Talk Network, they know all about this story. So a guy named Richard Miller was pulled over. He stole a pickup truck, but he stole the wrong pickup truck.
Oh, no.
Because he had no idea that in the back of the pickup truck there were coolers, and I guess they probably thought they were full of what, Billy beer? It turned out that there were body parts.
Oh, my gosh.
He stole a pickup truck that apparently belonged to some sort of a killer, a murderer.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
So Las Vegas police say Eric Holland is the guy's name, and he was spotted in a stolen Toyota Tundra. And it turns out that when he stole the truck, he didn't bother to look in the back.
Always check the back.
Now, the police are saying he's the guy responsible for putting the severed head in the cooler. But his attorney says he's got the worst luck of any criminal in America. And he stole the wrong pickup truck.
That's look, just, there's a lot of ways you could go with
could
that.
Could you imagine? I mean, you're... sir, what's in the cooler?
I was going to say, I hope he learned his lesson about stealing.
Just Jeez. A head of cheese, maybe a head of lettuce, not a human head. There you go.
Nasty. All right.
It is. Well, folks, I'm telling you, crime doesn't pay. And if you are going to steal something, just check out the cooler first. Just take a peek inside. Got to take a break here, folks. Dr. Ben Carson coming up next. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
So about a year ago, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend Mike Lindell was in the headlines. A lot of the big box stores all over the country that sell the MyPillow products decided they were no longer going to sell his products, the MyPillow, the mattress toppers, the pillows, the whole nine yards. And the reason why is they were very upset that he was supporting President Trump and that he was speaking out against the election results and the election fraud. And so a lot of these big box stores decided, you know what, we are no longer going to carry your products to punish you, Mike Lindell. We're just gonna boot your stuff from our stores. So today, if you walk into Bed Bath & Beyond, you will not be able to purchase a MyPillow. So what did Mike Lindell do? Well, he did something that was pretty remarkable and pretty ingenious. He went to folks like us and our audience and said, hey, look, we're going to give you a page on the MyPillow site, MyPillow.com/Starnes, and we're going to promote our products through your radio program. And it's been a massive, massive success. So last night, word came down from Bed Bath & Beyond headquarters that they are now having to close 37 stores because no one's going to Bed Bath & Beyond anymore. As a matter of fact, they've also reported third quarter losses of $100 million over at Bed Bath & Beyond. Now, you folks know me. I'm a good Southern Baptist. But I got to tell you, I'm not sure if that's coincidence or karma. But either way, good for you, Mike Lindell. And I know they're having a restless sleep over at Bed Bath & Beyond. My recommendation is get a MyPillow. 844-747-8868. And if you go to MyPillow.com/Starnes, is it Todd? Well, anyway, Grace will figure it out. MyPillow.com, we're going to give you some great discounts over there, provided you'd use our promo code. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are honored to have with us a good friend of this program, a great American patriot, Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, it's been a while.
It has been a while. So nice to be back with you again.
And I hope Mrs. Carson is doing well as well.
Oh, she's doing very well.
Wonderful. By the way, Dr. Carson, a lot of our audience may not know that she is an incredibly accomplished musician and has played in a number of orchestras, and just what a blessing.
Yeah, she just played a couple of weeks ago in The Messiah.
Is that right? Wow. Just
she enjoys it enormously.
Dr. Carson, we have been, before we get into this incredible event that's happening in Florida, I'd love for you to weigh in on the Supreme Court hearing arguments about these mandatory vaccine policies for companies. As a medical professional and one of the best in the medical field, what say you about these mandates?
Well, I think they're obviously an overreach and are unconstitutional. And are not necessary. That's the biggest point, because each time this virus mutates, it seems to be getting weaker but more contagious. So what that means is that eventually probably everybody will either have had the virus or will be vaccinated. And it really doesn't matter what ridiculous policies they come up with. It's just going to be so contagious. It's going to spread so much. Whether you've been vaccinated or not, you're going to get it. But in many cases, it's going to be so mild, you won't even know that you have it.
Was there a moment early on, Dr. Carson, in the pandemic when you realized, wait a second, something's not adding up here?
I realized that quite early on when the only thing you could hear coming out of the CDC and the NIH and the administration was get vaccinated. When I knew that there were effective therapeutics that were available, and for some reason there seemed to be blinders on, you can only do this one way and one size fits all. Well, obviously we've seen that that's not the case. It doesn't work. It doesn't really prevent you from getting the virus and its variations, but it is getting weaker. So that is a blessing in disguise. I think eventually even this administration will realize that.
And when you see, though, what's happening with the crackdowns, and for me, I was just genuinely shocked that so many in the religious community went along with the government and shut down their church houses. What do you think the end game of all of this is with the Democrats and with the folks in charge over at the CDC?
Well, if we allow it, which I don't think the Supreme Court is going to, but if we allow it, this is just the beginning salvo of control of our lives. Remember, the reason people came to this country is because they wanted to be free to live their lives the way they wanted to. They didn't want a government's heavy foot on their neck telling them everything they could and could not do and mandating things for them. And, you know, we've in some sense kind of forgotten about that. And in a way, you know, these mandates, the critical race theory, all these things are helping, I believe, to wake people up. I think we were just sort of slowly sliding into socialism. And I believe that we're going to wake up now.
Do you still have that bug, I guess, about, the political bug, wanting to run for office? Or are you done with that now? Or are you still, maybe you have aspirations down the road?
Well, it wasn't something that ever really particularly appealed to me. even when I was, you know, the front runner in the Republican Party, it didn't really particularly appeal to me. But I always do what I feel led to do. And fortunately, right now, I don't feel led to jump back into that.
I completely sympathize and understand.
I do feel led, however, to work very hard to rectify the direction of our nation, and that's what we do with American Cornerstone Institute.
And I'm excited about this event. And by the way, folks, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Dr. Ben Carson, there is a big event taking place in Plant City, Florida this weekend, a 10,000-seat amphitheater. It's called The Renewal, Restoring America's Founding Covenant. Tell us, what is that all about?
Well, you know, the United States, it wasn't the United States, but America at the time, and that the pilgrims came over here, you know, their Mayflower Compact dedicated this new land to God and to godly principles. And the people who put together our Constitution
were very much doing that on the basis of our Judeo-Christian values. You know, our faith that taught us to love your neighbor, not to cancel your neighbor, that taught us about providing freedom for people, that taught us the sense of community and being able to work together, that taught us the value of life. You've noticed as we've gotten further away from valuing life from womb to the tomb, we've become much more coarse in our relationships with each other. So the renewal is really about coming back and recognizing who we are, why we've been so advantaged because of those Judeo-Christian values. And that, do we really want to throw those away? Because as we get rid of them, we seem to be deteriorating as a society.
So this weekend's event, and folks, you can find information on our website, but you can go to therenewal2022.org. That's therenewal2022.org. What's that experience like, Dr. Carson, getting out there with your fellow patriots, with fellow believers, and talking about these big issues of the day?
Well, it's actually very energizing because people are really, I think, across this country getting excited about returning, you know, to our former state of greatness and returning to a point where we actually work with each other and are friends with each other and are not trying to destroy each other, not trying to cancel each other. I mean, this is really for those who have enjoyed, you know, peace and tranquility before, what we're going through right now is pretty tortuous. Now, you know, some of the younger people may not know any better. They don't know how things can be. They've just grown up and seen turmoil around them and hatred and animosity, and they don't know any better. It's our job to show them that there is a better way and that we, the American people, are not each other's enemies, and there's nothing to be gained by acting like we are.
Well, I think that is that's an incredible word. And Dr. Carson, we're going to have to leave it there. We're just so excited to have you back with us. We appreciate your great insight on so many issues. And we just pray blessings upon this great event coming up down in Florida.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for being a patriot.
All right, Dr. Ben Carson, ladies and gentlemen, a great member of the Trump administration, a part of this weekend's big event in Florida, and they have some incredible speakers, Michelle Bachmann, Louis Gohmert. Of course, Dr. Carson's going to be there. Our good friend Mike Lindell is going to be there as well. Just lots and lots of different people, including David Barton, who you normally hear on this program. It is a 9-to-5 event, January the 8th. Which is tomorrow in Plant City, Florida. And again, if you'd like information, go to therenewal2022.org. Oh, by the way, I'm a big fan of the Isaacs, and they're going to be performing music down there, so that'll be fun. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. You know, you heard Dr. Carson talking about the importance of having a strong immune system. Well, one of the things that I've got to tell you about is a great product called Immuno 150. Immuno 150, 70 minerals are the key to improving your immune system. And this stuff is really awesome, especially with all the corona flu going around or whatever they're calling that nonsense. So let me tell you about this product, Immuno 150. It boosts your immune system with 70 plant minerals and 80 other nutrients. It can provide your body the health and vitality it needs during the cold and flu season and well beyond. Got to go check these folks out. Do your homework. Immuno150.com. That's Immuno, I-M-M-U-N-O, 150.com / Todd. Immuno150.com/Todd. Got to check out this great product. I promise you, it's going to keep you nice and healthy during these during flu season. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists,
the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Got any big plans this weekend? It's the weekend.
We're having a board game night tonight. How's that?
A what?
A board game night.
Are those, you mean like Monopoly or?
Yeah, though I don't like Monopoly.
Oh, really?
No, it takes too long.
So how does that work? Do you guys just, you just get a lot of people together?
Yes, and we have a bunch of board games, and we just play said board games. Is that like ordering pizza?
Ooh, pizza. Yep. I like that.
Papa John's.
Oh, okay. Don't tell Mike Pompeo.
I know. So, I feel like fat after hearing that. I'm like, man, I'm over here like, what pizza are we going to get tonight?
No, after that segment, we went to a break and I'm munching on my ham sandwich from, what is that place called again? Home of the Hams. You know what I love about the name of that business? You know what you're getting.
Yep.
When you,
home of the Hams.
You're not getting turkey. You're not getting kale chips. You're not getting turkey. You're getting ham.
Getting soup.
I love it. So do you have any favorite, what's your favorite board game?
Oh gosh, it depends on the mood I'm in. I'm afraid to say the names. You're not going to have any clue what they are.
I bet. Well, go ahead and try me. I'm a man of the world.
Okay. Exploding Kittens. That's one.
What?
Another one's Secret Hitler.
Wait, what?
And another one's Code Names.
What in the world? What are you talking? So you're blowing up cats and you want to be what? Hitler?
No, you don't want to be Hitler.
Well, nobody wants to be Hitler.
In the game, you don't want to be Hitler either.
What is?
Have you ever played Mafia?
Yeah, I played. Yeah.
So Secret Hitler is basically like Mafia.
What? Oh,
it's the liberals versus the fascists.
Oh gosh.
Anyway, and what then Exploding Kittens is just a card game.
Exploding.
And you try not to die. You don't want your kitten cards to explode.
You don't want your cat to blow up.
And then Code Names is basically like your, it's like Battleship with words.
You see, I'm thinking
I'm trying to relate it to, you know, old games that you might know.
What, Scrabble? Operation? Twister?
But see, those games, okay, Twister you can play with a lot of people, but you've got to have games that you can play with at least like six people.
Yahtzee? What about
Yahtzee's
Uno?
Okay.
Oh, ooh, I like Uno.
We'll play Spicy Uno.
Wait, what is that? Is that like a dirty game?
No, it's not. It's just there's all these different rules, including like if you see a certain card on the table, you have to slap your hand down and you have to hit it first. You end up hitting a lot of people.
I just don't know about this. All right. You know what? I shouldn't have asked.
I was like, you asked what I was doing. That's my weekend.
I thought it was good, wholesome Christian young people, and you're blowing up little kittens with little short mustaches. All right, let's go to the phones. Paul Gainesville. Paul, can you believe this?
No, sir, not really, but it's very entertaining. I like listening to it.
Paul Gainesville, George.
Yes, sir, I've been glued to it. I've loved everything you've had on there today, all the way to Ben Carson and even Billy Carter. I mean, that brought back memories, you know.
How about old Billy Beer? I tell you what, but we love Dr. Carson, and he's a very soft-spoken guy, but he's just so brilliant. What a good man.
He is. He really is.
Well, what's on your mind, Paul?
I was just kind of coming through Gainesville up there, and I caught a piece of your show, and it was talking about a godless America. And, you know, I was just thinking a godless America – I go to a lot of churches, you know, and there's a lot of, oh, thank God for Southern Baptist, brother. I know that. You know, if the people would, you know, take the authority that they have got, go to the, I mean, not just in the voting booth, but to the voting booth, because if you don't go vote and put in somebody decent, well, somebody ungodly is going to be ruling the nation, and we can kind of see that now. But, The church, if it would rise up and come out of the walls and get in society again, then we'd start getting these morals back. Because, you know, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. But the church needs to understand who it is and become who they are again, and not just be passive with the things that's happening. And anyway, that's about the comment that I wanted to make. if the church will rise up, God will back the church because it's his body.
And Paul, there's actually a lot of truth to back up what you just said. We are big supporters of a group called MyFaithVotes.org, and their studies have shown that only 1 in 3 Christians actually vote consistently. Could you imagine if all Christians in America got out and voted and engaged the political process? And I think we would really facilitate change in this country. And folks, I would encourage you to go check out myfaithvotes.org/Todd. That's myfaithvotes.org/Todd and see how you can get involved. They have a lot of great free resources for you to help mobilize your local church community to get involved. I mean, the great Adrian Rogers, so one of my favorite ministers of all time, said that we are to be civil lambs, but not silent lambs. Hey, Paul, got to run. Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend. Folks, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of ground covered. You can listen to our podcast. Go back if you missed an episode. You can download those free of charge. Want to thank our great, great team here, our crew at the show, Kyle and Grace. Been a lot of fun. Folks, you get out there. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday. This is the Todd Sarge Radio Show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.